I'm pleased to call the meeting of the Historic Sites and Monument Commission together. And would like to welcome you to the meeting, what is, on the 4th of February in 2021, the meeting of the Historic Sites and Monument Commission. The purpose of the Savannah Chatham County Historic Sites and Monument Commission is to ensure that public spaces continue to enhance the lives of the residents of Chatham County and the city of Savannah. I now call this meeting to order. So welcome to the meeting of February 4th, 2021, of the Historic Sites and Monument Commission regular meeting. The first item on our agenda is to have a vote for the chair, vice chair, and secretary for the coming year. You chaired that committee, didn't you? Or was it Tom?
I think it was Tom. It was Tom.
Okay, could you would you repeat the nominees for us, Tom?
The nominating committee has nominated Christopher Monroe for chair, Thomas Gensheimer for vice chair, and Lisa Watson for secretary. Now, any campaigning you want to do before we vote, I would say I should do it right now.
Are you making a motion?
I make a motion for the committee to approve the nominations for officers of the Historic Sites and Monuments Commission.
Second, Sean?
This is Sean. I second that.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? The discussion we'll be talking about amongst ourselves. So. Being no discussion, all those in favor of the nominees signify by saying aye.
Aye. This is Lisa.
This is Sean. Aye.
Tom Gensheimer. Aye.
This is Christopher. Aye.
And I don't vote, so.
I don't know.
Except in the case of time.
Present chair refuses to step down. Refuses to acknowledge so. That it's the seat of the election.
I learned a lot from my predecessor. Okay. I just found out, actually, when I walked into the room today, that I not only was no longer chair, but I'm no longer a member of the commission. I've served 5 years.
Is today your last meeting? Is today your last meeting?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, which I didn't know.
My apologies. I apologize for not making that clear last time when I said this is the end of term. I didn't know you didn't. No, we meant chair and term. So
the final.
I've served pretty continuously. I just counted up 13 years and 4 months on various groups here. And so keeping track of how many years I was on this commission wasn't part of my priorities.
Nick, have they actually replaced you yet? Or because
they have two people in the pipeline, I understand.
Okay. So they have nominations and they are.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I have that under other business at the end, but we can talk about that right now. So the city council has appointed replacements for Dr. Henry and Alicia Blakely. Okay. Final lady, yay. Oh, yeah. And they are, you can see them right here, Eileen Baker, and she is Alicia Blakely's unexpired term replacement. And Ashley Range is Dr. Henry's replacement. And as soon as we get the letters from city council so that I can have their contact information, then I'll reach out to them and we'll get them in to join
us. That's fantastic. Eileen, I'll just pop in and say that Eileen is the former director of the Cultural Resources Department for many, many, many years. So she's awesome. I don't know the other person. I'm sure she's awesome too.
I Googled her. young female, obviously. She is an illustrator. Maybe that was the other.
Well, we have some gender parity on the board now.
It's about time.
Well, let me just say before I turn this over to Chris, who's going to be excellent as chair, it has been a pleasure to have been a part of a talented and able volunteers to this commission. And talent, and let me single out Tom and Christopher and Lisa and Sean as having added a lot and having hung on there despite absences of others for many years. And also, I really also would like to thank the staff, Leah Mikulak and Ryan Jarles and Julie Yawn. Leah and Ryan were very good at telling me what to do, and I always followed what they said. And Julie has always kept me somewhat articulate, so I'm grateful to you all. I now turn it over to Christopher.
Should we switch? I can do it from here. We don't have to switch seats. Is there a ceremonial passing of the gavel? No. I just want to say, Dr. Henry, that I mean, I can't say I'm sure I speak for everyone, but your leadership and participation has been invaluable to this board, and I personally really appreciate it and appreciate your leadership as well.
That is very kind of you to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sad you'll be leaving, but
we will have a couple. I didn't know how many years ago.
Are you leaving this meeting?
Yeah, I'm just quitting. Christopher is replacing.
I can do it from here. We don't have you.
Whatever you prefer.
I can do it from here.
Aww.
Christopher.
I'll hammer on something. I can hammer on the board.
Mr. Chairman, can I say something real fast? Just in regards to Dr. Henry. Dr. Henry, I do want to say thank you also, just to kind of reiterate exactly what Christopher said as well. But I want to go one step further with, because of the way how you've acted as chairman, I've also learned a lot from that as well and taken it and use it on as chairman of the Park and Tree Commission as well. So thank you very much.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that, Sean. I hope I taught you some good lessons.
I hope so too.
Yeah. You'll find out. Okay, my last act.
Thank you, Dr. Henry. This is sad. I didn't know this was going to happen. You can come be a member of the public if you like. Okay, so I'll go ahead and we have a few things. Let the record show Dr. Henry is stealing his name tag. Okay, we can go ahead. We can go ahead with the stuff. Thank you, Dr. Henry. Okay, I've been giving a script, so I will try to stick to the script as much as possible. Now we will go on to the regular agenda. I do want to thank you all for your confidence, and I will endeavor to do this as expeditiously and professionally as possible. So I appreciate you all's support on that. And I'm looking forward to the new board members as well. So we will go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the petition of the City of Savannah for the 400 block of Broughton Street. And we will hear from
one moment. You missed the minutes.
Pardon me. See, I'm already screwing up. Thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve of the January 7th minutes.
This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the January 7th, 2021 HSMC meeting minutes.
Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
And all those in favor of approving the minutes?
No. This is Sean. Aye.
This is Lisa. Aye.
Tom. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Minutes are approved. Thank you. Thank you, Leah. I appreciate that. Now, on to the third item on the agenda, which is the petition of City of Savannah for the 400 block of Broughton Street. And we will hear from staff Ryan Jarles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The applicant, which is the City of Savannah, is requesting approval for public art information displays within kiosks on the 400 block of West Broughton Street. The kiosks are a part of a larger project spanning approximately 6 blocks from Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard to Drayton Street, as you can see in this map. The kiosks are part of a larger City of Savannah project currently under construction to revitalize the Broughton streetscape. Many of you have probably noticed that is going on. So currently under review are the public art to be displayed on two kiosks. I'm going to pull up a quick map for you. So this is the 400 block of Broughton. These are the ones on the north and one on the south side of the 400 block. You can kind of see the glowing yellow here. Those are their locations. However, the applicant is proposing that the five additional blocks of kiosks include similar art. So I'll just kind of glaze through here. This is all the way down Broughton Street. You'll see those yellow glowing portions. They are asking that they would appreciate the approval of the project as a whole, allowing staff to review those future installations at those other locations also located on Broughton Street. So to go over the ones that are currently under review, the north kiosk, get that in place. The north kiosk will focus on the transition of Broughton Street from a residential area to a more commercial area in the late 1800s. Sanborn fire insurance maps from the Savannah-Chatham County indicate the location of the residential dwellings west on Broughton Street, highlighting the diversity of business in the early 20th century. So they're indicating the inclusion of these items. For the south kiosk, the kiosk on the south is going to focus on Savannah's two primary commercial corridors, that being Broughton Street as well as Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, formerly West Broad Street. The copy will discuss the contrast between the two corridors due to segregation. When evaluating sites for markers, monuments, and public art, let me jump to this real fast for you. There we go. The installation of the public art is to be integrated onto kiosks, which were previously approved by the HDBR, and this is kind of their design here. The addition of the public art onto these kiosks, staff found to not cause overcrowding, nor will it damage or disturb existing vegetation or utilities, because again, this area is part of that revitalization of Broughton Street, and so this area is being designed for these kiosks to be located. Let me zoom in on this picture for you again. Just to give you an idea of what you're looking at, this is the new curb line that I'm running the cursor on here for Broughton Street. So currently Broughton Street is much wider than what is shown here. These kiosks are in the large redesigned sidewalk area. Broughton Street is known for festivals. It does play host to multiple parades and large group gatherings. It is also known for frequent automobile accidents, although not serious ones usually. Although known for these things, the kiosks are to be located within this well-designed buffer zone between the sidewalk and the street, and there's even this parking here as well. So that would allow for the kiosks to not become detrimental to the festivities, nor prone to possible damage from automobiles. With the site in relation to theme for markers and monuments, the majority of the public art will utilize historic images, so much like the ones you saw down here for those two proposed kiosks. These documents, although not original works, are to be utilized in a unique and original way to present them to the public. These images and documents are part of the community and will therefore be respectful to the community. All funding is actually part of phase one for that Broughton Street streetscape improvement project. And as part of phase one of that project, the kiosks and public art are to be maintained as part of operations of various city departments. So they are taking on the maintenance of those kiosks. The recommendation is to recommend that the Savannah-Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval of the public art located on the 400 block of Broughton Street to the Savannah City Council because it meets the standards in the master planning guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. Additionally, due to the time-sensitive nature of the public art and their repeating theme and design concept, staff recommends that the HSMC board and the Savannah City Council allow staff to review future submittals that are part of this project. Staff will then present those approved submittals at following HSMC meetings for informational purposes. And I open for questions.
Anyone on the board have any questions for staff? Sean?
Ryan, just as a point of clarification, is it just that one 400 block that we're deciding, and or is it the entire block street? I know it says additionally due to time sensitive for future renderings. I just want to make sure that I fully understand exactly what it is.
The full petition before you, so the actual ones that they know the designs of, are only the kiosks located on the 400 block. So that's why we have the additional request that we be able to review the further kiosks down the line.
Tom?
Do you have any idea how many they're proposing to do ultimately? Or, I mean, this is just saying we're going to like a blank check after we approve two of these. Is there any future?
So there's two per block, and this project spans six blocks.
Okay, that'd be included on every block. And my other question is the content of these kiosks permanent, or will it be at all subject to change? And will that also be the purview of the, you know, of the staff to okay that?
As far as the submittal that we received, it did not indicate that they would be, you know, on a, like a rotation. So it would be a permanent installation.
Lisa, do you have any questions?
Isn't there a photo of a model of one? I wanted to see that.
Yeah. Let me zoom in. It might get kind of blurry. I apologize.
So the image will be digital, or will it be like a permanent photograph?
It's going to be a permanent fixture on the kiosk.
Oh, okay.
Anyone else have any follow-up? Ryan, I do have another question, and maybe this is for the city. Bridget, is Bridget here?
We have Bridget as well.
I'm here. Hello.
Okay, let me ask Ryan this, and maybe this is another question. Are these replacing the kiosks that are, I don't know which block is 400 off the top of my head, passing the kiosks that are already there. Are there already kiosks?
The 400 there? Block is the one that ends at MLK, so between
MLK, okay, gotcha.
And Street. And these would be replacing those.
Yeah, okay. So presumably there would be these would be eventually replacing all of them down Broadway Street. Do we know that? Or
for those six blocks. Gotcha.
Okay, that's all I have. Anyone else? Now we will hear from the petitioner.
Good afternoon, Commissioner and Commissioners. My name is Bridget Liddy. I'm Director of Planning and Urban Design for the City of Savannah. And it's kind of bittersweet today with your former Commissioner Nicholas Henry leaving, because he was actually involved with reviewing the streetscape proposal as well as the amenities through the Historic District Review Board back in 2018. And then again, when we took this to the Sites and Monuments Commission in 2017. So I'm sorry to see him leave, but I'm happy that we're able to continue moving forward and working with you all on this very exciting project. To let you know, this is a part one of a two-phase project. As Ryan had said, from MLK to Drayton Street, it will include six blocks. With two kiosks on each block, mid-block. A question was raised before about replacing the larger kiosks that are line the south side of Broughton Street. I think there are about six or seven of them. Yes, indeed, these will replace them, and they will also hold electrical outlets in order to assist with any kind of special event programming that might occur along the street. We're really excited about this particular aspect of the project, to be able to highlight various aspects of the historical evolution of Broughton Street, and really are just excited to be here at this point in time. Ryan did a great job covering everything, so if you all have any questions for me, just let me know.
Is that all you have, Bridget?
Yes, I think okay, Ryan so covered.
From the board, Tom?
Like always, is there, I mean, have you considered or are there any provisions for vandalism in these for these kiosks when, I mean, I know the city's going to support them and certainly pay for their upkeep, but I'm just curious if they have any vandalized proofing on these at all.
That's a great question. When we went through the planning process, our design team was very cognizant of the fact that these and other amenities with the streetscape project would be located in an urban environment. And with that, they have been designed to, if they are vandalized for some reason, they have coatings and the material that's used will be much easier to clean off as opposed to other surfaces that might be out there on our streets.
Yeah. Any other questions? Sean?
I've actually got two. First one, since I hear Bridget already, I'll ask the one that would apply to her. I'm completely drawing a blank. Initially the in the budget it said something about like 11 point something whatever million dollars. I can't remember exactly which part it was when I was reading over the application. Was that for the entire project or was that for just the what are those things called?
Kiosks.
The kiosks. Thank you.
If that was just for the kiosks, I think they would be platinum. That's for the entire project that stretches from MLK to Drayton Street. It includes the entire project costs for phase one.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't completely insane. And then the next question and last question I have is actually going to be, I would assume, more so geared towards Luciana. The information based off of the kiosk, is that going to be rotating or is it going to always be the exact same information on each one of the kiosks?
This is Bridget.
Go ahead, Bridget.
No, I didn't know Luciana was on the call. It's all static. And once we approve, or once you all approve the content, we will proceed in making it permanent. They will not rotate through the remaining kiosks that will be installed.
Okay, thanks. Just didn't know if you were going to be adding in new events or whichever the case may be for these kiosks. All right, thank you.
And I've got a note to make sure we say our names. I'm calling your name, so maybe I'll make sure I try to get in the habit as well of just saying, I'll call on you and then we can say our name again to repeat so we make it clear. Lisa.
This is Lisa Watson. I just had a question about the actual kiosk. It slopes at the bottom. How is that mounted? And it looks like people would trip over it. So I was just curious.
Sure, great question. So these are going to be mounted into the ground where there is a brick surface that will go around them. So it'll be flesh and one surface.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
In fact, Ryan, if you could go to the sheet, it's LH-508, you can actually see where the brick comes and meets the kiosk on the street. I'm not sure exactly what page. I think you need to go.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Ryan.
Any other questions? Bridget, I've got a couple of really quick questions. Actually, to follow up with the vandalism issue, Ryan, if you could just stay on this image here. That was a question of mine on the sides. There's sheer sides And I'm seeing here on this drawing that there's some text on there. Is that eventually what the side is going to look like? And it's not going to be blank?
Yes, the sides will actually have, if you go to the fabricated piece where Ryan's going right now, you can kind of see it basically lists the different squares that we have to help celebrate the Oglethorpe win.
And so the entire side's going to be covered with that, with those text, with that text?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's a great idea, because I was going to say that if it's blank, it's just itching to get spray painted or stickers on it, and if it's less likely to get vandalized if there's something on it. And I do have another question. I don't know if this is for staff or for the petitioner. The Historic Review Board, that's the board that reviewed this previous. Were there any, did they express any concerns or questions in that approval process? Any outstanding, anything that stands out? I'm just curious. Bridget or Luciana, do you all know?
There was one issue that came up, and I can't remember what it had to do, but we were able to address that issue as within the time frame that the COA was issued. So I think everything was copacetic with how we were moving forward with the project with the review board approval.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I trust the process. I was just curious for my own. Okay, if there are no more other questions.
I'm sorry, I have a COA number, if that would be helpful.
Sure.
Hold on just a second. It is COA number 18-001061. And it was specifically for the kiosk. The meeting date, I believe, was 2018. I believe it was June, maybe.
It's fine. We don't have to go look it up at this point. I mean, yeah, that's fine. I was just wondering if there was any outstanding, if nothing's coming to mind, that's fair. I was just wondering.
No,
if
I mean, staff looked at the fabrication of it to make sure it met the approval of that, you know, once they showed the fabrication, and it matches what was approved by the board.
So. No, thanks. I appreciate it. We don't have to go that deep. But thank you. If there are no other questions, are there any members of the public that would like to speak?
Hey, this is Bridget really quickly, just following up on that COA. I did find it. We submitted it as part of the application process, and it was approved with the condition that the final color would be approved by staff. And other than that, everything was visually compatible. Yep.
Yeah, we did that last month with Douglas Patton, and it's Savannah Green.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. If we still have board discussion, if we can hold off on the public comment, Sean has another question.
My question is real quick, since you just mentioned the Savannah Green. Sorry, this is Sean Mannion. And so the green and the Savannah Green and the white, I'm assuming that's where the colors for the squares that will be going on the kiosk itself, that's why it's in that color, correct?
So that's City of Savannah Green. And then there's Savannah Green, which is almost black. If you've ever heard of Charleston Green, it's like it's like the color of our lamp posts, and that it's basically a black.
Thank you.
Any other questions? So there is a raise your hand option online. And so if there are any members of the public that wish to speak, please use that raise your hand option. And we'll wait for you to see if there's any comment from the public on this petition.
There seems to be none.
So if there is no public comment, I will entertain a board discussion. Any thoughts, comments, concerns?
I This is a proposal that will, maybe I should have thought about this for the staff, but among ourselves, this is a proposal to essentially give the staff the go-ahead to complete another 10 of these without us reviewing it, right? We won't get to see the pictures. We won't get to review the text at all. And historically, although we trust the staff and we know they do good work and they know that they're talking about, but historically there has been an issue, as I've been on this for many years, as to whether that is an appropriate thing to allow the staff to just have kind of blank, a blank check and not have an oversight by the committee itself, when that is really the power of this committee, is to just be another eyes that look at it and to be ensure that it, you know, that that it's appropriate to
quality control,
to, you know, the requirements that we're vested in looking to protect. So I'm a little bit concerned. I mean, I like the idea. I certainly think it is, that it is going to be a good project. It's of course going to look very nice, and it will certainly promote Broughton Street and historical context of Broughton Street. But you know, we've had lots of issues in the past with how the text reads and how, you know, I mean, sometimes there's things that when we read it, it looks a little differently, and we suggest alterations, particularly in the text, less so in probably visual images in this case. So I am personally a little reluctant to approve, you know, from here to eternity on this project, and, you know, personally, given what I have been working on for the past 9 years here.
It's a fair point. Any other thoughts on that? Sean.
This is Sean. That actually is a very valid point. And based off of the agenda for later in the meeting, that'll actually come up very, very important. I don't know if this is actually the appropriate time to ask, but since you just mentioned that, Commissioner, I do, now it raises the question of what type of safeguards are going to be put in place for, let's say, Leah and Ryan, or whoever, even anybody else at the staff. You've all gone on to better things and no longer at MPC when round two or phase two comes around for the next set of markers go on, and they are completely separate, but the approval says, hey, no, the staff is going to have final say, essentially. So let's say, for example, the next two markers that go in after these two, just they want to go in at purple and green. No, purple and red. Completely doesn't match anything, but according to the approval, then it says, yep, you can go with that. I know that would probably never happen, but.
Are you referring to the color of the kiosk itself, or what would be going on?
That's just as an example. So, like, what type of safeguards would be put in place to where that type of instance doesn't happen?
Your safeguard at that point would be they're reviewing it under the same criteria as what we review everything else, so the master planning guidelines.
So then essentially it seems like the open checkbook, as Commissioner Tom had mentioned previously, it shouldn't really be there, is what I'm kind of getting. So, okay, thank you.
Restricted to it being the same layout, same type of content, same but I know what you're saying too, is that specific wording sometimes or those sorts of things, but this is what the, you know, you're obviously, you can do what you like. This is what the city asked us to bring to you as a request, but obviously it's up to you all. And you can also feel good that if we weren't happy with something that we were seeing, we would bring it to you as well. Like, if we didn't feel comfortable as staff saying, like, we don't think this is the right thing to put, then, you know, we would bring it. So,
I mean, I think it's worth mentioning it is our prerogative. You know, there could be a motion to amend this decision. Lisa, did you have any thoughts on that?
I'm going to be honest. Now I'm confused what we're voting on with this.
So Tom is bringing up the point that the city has asked staff to approve these with the recommendation that the future kiosks that go up do not have to come through us to get approved. It would be go through staff to get approved. Is that, am I?
Yeah.
The content of it, yes.
They're showing you the content for the first. And this is what their content is going to be like for the rest of them. But they are asking you to approve the first two and their content, but then approve staff to be allowed to review, to approve the rest of the content.
And presumably, they're all going to be historical photos.
Right, that's the idea.
Yes.
And I just want to clarify also that you'll be making a recommendation to City Council. You all will not be approving it. It would be going to a different board after us.
Final recommendation. I mean, we can go over this later, but so if it's on public property, City Council eventually has to approve. If it's on private property, if we approve it, that's the final word. That makes sense to you all.
This is Bridget. Is there a way I can address some of the concerns that you've been raising?
Yes, please.
Okay, great. So, you know, I mentioned before that this had come in front of the Sites and Monuments Commission back in 2017, and it has gone through the historic preservation review process in 2018. We have been diligently working to ensure that everything that we do is in keeping with existing policies and ordinances that we have. With this particular project, when we spoke to MPC staff, we are technically right now in a very tight crunch for these two particular kiosks because it's part of the project that's going to be completed this month. And so we're trying to get this content finalized as soon as possible for these two blocks. In speaking with staff, their recommendation was to go ahead and get these two approved under the condition that they could review and approve the remaining 10 panels. We're more than willing to share our information with staff, and you know, if we have time, just based on our production, our fabrication process, you know, we can come in front of you for a review for the remaining 10. But we're still in the process of pulling that information together. In addition to that, we are working with our Luciana from the city's Municipal Archives office to ensure that the content is exact and precise in reference to our history. And we're also looking at pulling in some other partners where we've reached out to the Georgia Historical Society and other community partners to ensure that we're moving forward in the right vein with the content.
Thank you, Bridget. I appreciate that. Well, I, as chair, I will not be voting now. So this is going to be a three vote. I'll just throw my two cents in really quick. I mean, just I know that Luciana is, you know, conscientious of this, but I think it's worth noting that, you know, hopefully there will be a very diverse representation of Savannah's history represented in these photos and whatnot. I would personally love eventually at some point to see maybe the potential of different pieces of artwork coming in. That's just my personal opinion, but that's down the road. I'm just wanted to throw that out there, though. Any more board discussion or comments or thoughts? I mean, we certainly have the prerogative to, you know, decide to have them come back and present this, or we can approve this petition as recommended by staff. So that's up to you all. Sean?
This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the recommendation from staff, and Part B would be to make a motion to for a continuance on the additional kiosks, so that way the two that have to go, because I know Bridge Director Liddy's due diligence, she does an awesome job in every single thing that she does. So I make a motion to approve the staff recommendation and then put a continuance on the future kiosks until, I guess, 30 days, which would be the next meeting, until we know what those are gonna say.
Could you restate that?
No. Hang on.
To be clear, the staff recommendation is to approve and let staff approve the future.
It's two parts. So you can approve that staff recommends that that you all approve the ones located on the 400 block. Mm-hmm. This portion was an additional recommendation.
So Sean, you're saying in the, to replace the additional
yes, as section. A continuance to a 30-day continuance for the additional section of the recommendation.
Let me ask the petitioner, is a 30 days sufficient time?
So my challenge is this. I've got to get these two kiosks in the queue to get that portion of Broughton Street complete. With the continuance of 30 days, I'm going to be delaying the project and completing the one block on Broughton Street. And what I need to do is be able to have you all approve these two panels on the 400 block of East Broughton Street. And if you wish to add additional language, that your language states that any other future kiosks will need to be reviewed and approved by your board in an effort to get this thing moving in front of council. Because my challenge is we are still working on the content for the remaining 10 kiosks. I don't know how long that's gonna take to do. In addition to that, I desperately need to get these two kiosks up to council, and I'm totally understanding and amenable to having an additional condition on your recommendation that any other future content for the remaining kiosks have to go in front of you all for approval.
Hey,
thank you for that.
Bridget, this is Ryan. I just want to let you know that you are both saying the same things. Sean is that we approve the two and then the others come at a different time. So that is what. But he was asking for the other 10 if that 30 days would be enough, which you answered that you do not know. So
I think maybe a couple of them will be ready, but we're trying to come up with a comprehensive plan for the content. So it makes sense as you're walking down the street, similar to what we have on River Street and on Resacas Plaza. So we can try to do that, but I would hate to have a 30-day conditional on there when it goes to mayor and council. I would prefer to have it state that you approve where we're going and we go back to you for the approval of the remaining content for the 10 kiosks.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so Sean, I mean, maybe I could suggest, let's maybe forego the 30-day language and leave it open-ended for the remaining. Does that make sense?
This is Sean. I was going to say, since Christopher, you asked me to restate it, can we just do exactly what Bridget just said? Because yeah. She did it a lot better than I did.
You did not have a second on that motion, so you can restate anything you want.
Correct.
So then let me try this again. I make a motion for this board to approve staff's recommendation for the two kiosks, and then when the city of Savannah is ready with the finalization of the remaining 10 kiosks to come back to this board.
Is everyone on this board clear on that motion?
This is Lisa. I'll suck at that.
Okay. So all in favor?
This is Tom. I favor that. You know, I don't want to delay this project. So I think it is important to, you know, to separate these and, you know, get it going. So the first two can go forward. But I approve that we will be able to review the remaining 10 before, whenever it's convenient for you guys to show it to us. So
that's an aye. Lisa.
This is Lisa. Aye.
This is Sean. Aye.
Thank you all. And we will try to conduct the remaining ones as expeditiously as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Okay, we'll move on now to item number 4 on the agenda, which is the petition of the Georgia Historical Society for 342 Drayton Street historical marker. And we will hear from Ryan Jarles Staffigan.
Thank you again. All did review this project previously. So it was continued at the December 3rd, 2020 board, at the board meeting of December 3rd, 2020 to go to the January 7th meeting, but they did defer to this meeting, to allow for the applicant to restructure the language presented on the proposed marker. So the changes that have been made include moving the proposed marker to the Charlton Street side, which was also requested of them. And the marker now includes updated verbiage, like I mentioned. So I'm going to show that here, and I will read it. So Raymond McAllister Demere founded the American Oil Company on July 21st, 1921, as Savannah's first independent wholesale petroleum company, and he opened his first service station at this site in December, in 1923. Renamed Colonial Oil in 1933, the company is now known as Colonial Group Incorporated. In 1934, the company built its first independent ocean terminal on the Savannah River, contributing to the growth and diversification of the Port of Savannah. In 1964, Colonial launched interstate stations, now in market, for the operation of convenience stores in the Southeast. At its 100th anniversary in 2021, the fourth generation family-owned company remained headquartered in Savannah and was one of the area's largest employers, having expanded with multiple diverse subsidiaries to become one of the largest privately held corporations in the United States. And that, again, would at the bottom state that it was erected by the Georgia Historical Society. So in recognition of the significance of corporate citizens like Colonial in shaping the history of Georgia over the past century, GHS has made a focused effort in recent years to acknowledge the contributions through the Georgia Business History Initiative. With the installation of this proposed historical marker, Colonial Group would join other local companies and organizations such as Gulfstream, Aerospace Corporation, and Georgia Ports Authority, as well as other iconic Georgia companies like Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, and Chick-fil-A as part of the initiative. GHS has also created markers for them as well. The applicant is proposing the historical marker to be placed within the sidewalk, like I said, on East Charlton Street side, when it was previously shown. I'm going to point that out. So the East Charlton Street side, it was previously shown on the Drayton Street side. This side of the street does include an existing mechanical, which is a parking machine you can see here in this image. So, however, they do not propose that it will require the removal of any sort of mechanical or anything like that from that parking machine. Just like previously stated at the last meeting, they have secured all required funding for this project and are taking on all future maintenance through GHS. So staff is recommending, let me get down to the bottom, my apologies. Staff is recommending that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for the installation of the GHS historical marker at 342 Drayton Street, with the following condition: because the petition otherwise meets the guidelines set forth within the HSMC master planning guidelines, and that one condition being that they ensure the installation does not require removal or alteration of existing above or below ground utilities. And I open for questions.
Thank you, Ryan. Does the board have any questions for staff? Sean.
Ryan, when this came in front of the commission in December, it was noted that the verbiage had a lot of questions, if I remember correctly. When this updated verbiage was submitted, did you have any questions, so on and so forth, like you did in December when it previously was submitted?
As staff, we didn't have any issues with the verbiage at that point. Staff was recommending approval at that point as well. So this updated, to staff at least, does seem like they did try and go more for the history behind the business rather than its achievements.
Thank you.
Any other questions of staff? I did compare the text, and from my personal opinion, this is a lot better. It was actually, to clarify, Sean, it was the board that asked them to go revise the language. So now we will hear from the petitioner. And could you please state your name and affiliation?
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Chairman Monroe. It's Elise Butler with the Georgia Historical Society. Thank you for having me here today. With me, I also have Dr. Stan Deaton of the Georgia Historical Society and Mr. Ryan Chandler with Colonial Group, in case you have any questions of them. But at this point, if you have any questions or concerns, I'm happy to answer them.
Does the board have any questions of the petitioner? Tom? No, no. Sean?
I just want to say,
Let's make sure we're repeating our name. I know that's not something we've been doing, but let's try to get in the habit of it. I'm going to try to do that myself.
Thanks. This is Sean. I just do want to make a note that I agree with what Christopher had said earlier about reviewing the original text and this text. This is way better than the previous one. I like it a lot better, and it actually ties it to Savannah as opposed to the company. So very good job on taking the time to rewrite it and making sure that it's ready and going with it that way. So congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tom.
Yeah, well, I was going to essentially say the same thing in discussion or to you. It certainly, as a historian, you know, who likes to read this kind of stuff, it does read a lot less like a company propaganda, and it does read like an historical account of what is, you know, a marker should read. So I'm all for this. Thank you for going through the trouble of listening to us and coming up with a good text.
Thank you.
Lisa, do you have any comments?
This is Lisa. Same here. I just, when I read this, I was really proud of all your work, and it has such a different tone. It's really great now, and congratulations.
Thank you all.
I will also, this is Christopher, I will also second that. I really appreciate the revisions, and I appreciate you all being willing to work with us. I do think this is a far superior version of the text, and it does, as everyone else said, reads a lot more like a historical marker should. And I really appreciate you all's patience and working with us on that.
Thank you.
Did you, the petitioner, have any other questions or comments?
No, we have no additional questions or comments. Thank you so very much for your feedback.
Thank you. And now we will open it up for members of the public to comment. If there is a raise your hand option, and if there are any members of the public out there who want to comment on this petition, please use the raise your hand option and we'll wait for you.
I believe Ryan Chandler.
I'm sorry, if you could please just state your name and your affiliation, if any. Thank you.
Absolutely. This is Ryan Chandler with Colonial Group, and I just wanted to offer our deep thanks and appreciation for the board's advice in the in the first go around, and then also we appreciate the comments this go around as well. So just to offer my thanks. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you as well. Any other members of the public? Okay, so no more members of the public are speaking. I will open it up to board discussion, if any. Does anyone have any comments or thoughts? Tom?
This is Tom Gensheimer. Can I make a motion then?
Sure.
I make a motion that we approve the staff recommendation for the text. It went away. For the historical marker at Colonial Group and Company. Does that cover it?
Is there a second?
This is Sean Mannion. I second that motion.
Okay, and there's a second. So all in favor? Let's start with Tom. Go ahead.
This is Tom Gensheimer. I vote yes.
Lisa?
This is Lisa, aye.
This is Sean, aye.
And the motion passes. Thank you all. I just want to say thanks again for your patience and for working with us. I think this outcome is far superior. So thank you all. So we are going to now move on to item 5 on the agenda. This, but also the petition of Georgia Historical Society for 204 West Hall Street for also for a historical marker. We will hear from Ryan Jarl's staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, you have all seen this marker previously. You all at the, I apologize, let me get my paper actually in front of me. You all approved this at the December 3rd, 2020 meeting. Well, you recommended approval to the Savannah City Council at that meeting. But prior to that petition going to City Council, the petitioner actually decided to relocate the positioning of the historical marker. So nothing has changed other than the fact that it is now in a separate location than previously shown to you. Now it is being proposed within this corner of the front yard of the funeral home, and it is located on private property. So instead of making a recommendation to City Council this time, you will be either approving or denying this petition. And so again, I can show you the wording if you'd like, but you have already seen it and you have already recommended approval for it. The staff's recommendation is that you all recommend that you all approve the installation of the Georgia Historical Society marker located within the front yard at 204 West Hall Street as proposed, because the petition meets the guidelines set forth within the HSMC master planning guidelines.
Thank you, Ryan. I'll open it up for board questions for staff. Does anyone have any questions for staff?
This is Lisa. I like that location so much better. I was a little hesitant on voting on the street because we weren't talking about like any kind of hardscape walking up or anything, but now people can just walk right up to it, not worry about tripping and all that. So, yay.
Sean.
This is Sean. Real quick, was it a staff statement that wanted to change the location, or was it the petitioner?
The petitioner came forward with this proposal.
Thank you.
Tom, any questions?
Well, I certainly think it's a better position. We can read it with the building at the background. It's, you know, it's a good decision by the landowner. So I think it's a step forward.
Yeah, I would concur with that myself. I know this wasn't a decision on our part, right? We approved this, is that correct? So yeah, this was a smart decision as well. And we will hear from the petitioner. If the petitioner has any comments, you state your name and affiliation.
Sure, this is Elise Butler. Thank you for reviewing our application again for a second time. And as you have found out, we did approach the MPC about moving it onto the funeral home's property. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, thank you for reviewing the application again.
Thank you. Is there any board questions for the petitioner, Sean?
This is Sean. I just want to say very, very smart decision to put it on the property. That way you don't have to run into any additional potential risks of people just looking off in a glance, gaze, whatever, walking into it. I think it's a sure. way smarter decision to put it right there, and it even kind of fits in the facade, although the marker down needs a little help, but that's okay. Great, great decision.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions or comments? So without any other questions or comments from the board?
I would like to make a motion to approve.
Hold on, we're going to see if there are any, I'm sorry, Tom, but if there are any questions from the public, likely not, but we're going to ask anyway. So if anyone from the public has any comments on this petition, use your raise your hand feature. No one? Okay. Now we can entertain a motion if you'd like, Tom.
So we can read it. I think it'll be a better position for vandalism and everything. So I would like to propose a motion to approve the staff recommendation for the historical plaque at for the, I can't find it on here. For, what's the name of it?
West Hall Street.
Okay.
Approve staff recommendation of West Hall Street.
West Hall Street. I was gonna, yeah, 204 West Hall Street.
So there is a motion on the table to approve the petition of West Hall Street. Is there a second?
This is Sean. I second.
And so there being a second, all in favor, signify by saying aye. We'll start with you, Tom.
This is Tom Gensheimer. I approve. Yes.
Lisa?
This is Lisa. Aye.
Sean?
This is Sean. Aye.
And the motion is approved. Thank you, Elise. I'm going to, if I could ask you a question, Elise, are you still there?
I am.
I don't want to take too much time out of this, but I have a quick question regarding historical markers, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I'm on an advisory committee for the Ralph Mark Gilbert Civil Rights Museum, and we just discussed a number of issues, and one of them was, and I didn't realize this, that apparently WW Law, Wesley Wallace Law, does not have a historical marker, and there was conversation about how one could do that. You don't have to give me all the nuts and bolts of it, but is there a way for an individual to petition the Georgia Historical Society for a marker, or how does that work exactly?
Sure. So there is an application process. If you go to our website, georgiahistory.com, Georgia is all spelled out, and you click on our marker page, one of the first things you'll see is a checklist of how to apply for a historical marker. And, you know, we certainly would welcome that type of application. We have worked with the city of Savannah in the past to erect a number of historical markers, including the Weeping Time historical marker. So it would not be out of the ordinary for either the city or another entity within the city to apply for a historical marker. But that application is live, and it is live through July 1st. And then it's a cyclical yearly process.
And is this just one more question? How do you prioritize those? So presumably you'll get more applications than you would in a year.
Sure. So the Georgia Historical Society receives funding from the Georgia General Assembly for the marker program. So depending on how much we receive every year, depends on how many that we can approve that cycle. And the marker applications are reviewed by an independent committee, the Georgia Historical Marker Committee, which is made up from scholars from all corners of the state who make recommendations on what should be approved and what should be revised and resubmitted. So it really depends from year to year. Typically, it's anywhere from 2 to 5, usually 5, that are approved in each cycle.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I just also just want to commend you. I know you've been involved with the Weeping Time commemoration ceremonies, and I just commend you and Georgia Historical Society for that as well. So I appreciate all the work you do. So I thank you for answering those questions.
Thank you so much. And also thank you for all the work that you all do. And I should have another marker coming to you in the next couple of months. So
great. We look forward to it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to now the item 6 on the agenda, which is the petition of Clinton Administer for temporary murals at various locations. And we will hear again from staff Ryan Jaws.
Thank you again. So the applicant is requesting approval, like you said, for temporary murals. I kind of put it together as a package. So for a temporary mural package at 1512 Bull Street, 906 Drayton Street, as well as 2201 Bull Street and future addresses. So you can see the current addresses labeled here on this map. The title for the mural package is the Fence Mural Project and consists of 11 murals designed by 9 different artists. The proposed temporary murals will be painted on and are painted on large cotton canvas measuring 6 feet tall by 9 feet wide. The materials, I'm gonna go quickly to, I apologize that I didn't have this up previously. I'm gonna pull this up so you can see some of the current existing ones. The materials used to paint the murals include exterior acrylic paint, spray paint, and acrylic paint markers. All of these murals are coated on both sides with a polyacrylic varnish for waterproofing and protection from the elements. Additionally, all murals have been installed with grommets on all sides for hanging purposes. And the murals are expected to be installed between 2 and 4 months, all depending on their location and how long the construction fencing is to be in place. The applicant also provided a request that they're seeking approval for the installation of murals on construction fences anywhere in the city for approximately a number of 5 years. Due to the nature of construction, funding, production time, and administering projects like these, it would benefit the public and artists. This is a direct quote from them, by the way. It would benefit the public and our artists to have all future construction fence murals approved by MPC staff. We are learning from our first phase and are excited to be able to improve our materials marketing and expand our artist selection. Two of the addresses, let me zoom out real fast. Two of the addresses are being reviewed as if located on private property, even though they technically are not. The murals are located on construction fences that have received encroachment licenses from the city. So these fences are private property. And 221 Bull Street's construction fences are actually located on private property. So this one already is located on private property. These two are on the fences that have received encroachment licenses.
So to be clear, it's all private property
at this point, yes. The theme of the temporary mural package is building together. The theme is respectful to the context of the community because of the location of the murals and that being located on construction projects. I'm just going to quickly go through some of these with you, and I'll also be naming the artists as we go down. This is Amiri Ferris, Xavier Hutchins, and if you want me to stop on any of them, just say so. Nikesha Jones, Jose Ray, Brian McGregor, John Witzke, John Grund, Dana Richardson, Tyreek Maxwell, and as you may remember, you recently approved murals also by Loop It Up Savannah. So these are murals created by children and a second Loop It Up Savannah mural. The temporary murals are complementary to, as well as enhance the otherwise unsightly construction fences. They do not detract from any significant or character defining features of buildings because again, they're located on the fences. And the locations of future murals are currently unknown, but due to the time sensitive nature of the project in which it relies on the installation of the construction fencing, which can come up and down at any time, staff recommends that the board allow staff to review future submittals that are part of this project, and staff intends to present the staff approved submittals at following HSMC meetings for informational purposes. The temporary murals, like I said, will be respectful to the greater context of the neighborhood. Staff does not believe that they will be located in areas which may cause undue distraction, although next to roadways. Construction fencing often does depict large images, and no prior undue distraction has been reported as a result of these large images, at least not known to staff. The petitioner, lost my place. So the applicant provided a statement that they relied on many of the artists from last year's successful Starland mural project. So that's why a lot of those names are probably familiar to you. And in the last months since the Starland mural project, they have been in contact with many other local artists who are interested in providing their skills to these paintings and these murals. And that contact list was used to determine the remaining participants. So moving forward, they say that they're going to be implementing a call for entry selection model that will expand the portfolio of local artists whom they will hire and invest in. The full description of funding was not provided to staff. However, the submittal did include that the applicant had received funding from the Weave a Dream grant through the City of Savannah. And one last thing I am going to pull up. We did receive one letter from the public recently. This letter, I won't read the whole thing, but it is concerning the use of the term Starland next to these murals. I'll kind of zoom in on what they're referring to. So with each fence, it comes with this fence art project, and it does refer to the term Starland on these. And so their concern is that the use of the word Starland within other districts, such as the fence that is located within the Victorian district. That's their main concern. But staff is recommending approval of the temporary mural package at 2425 Bull Street, as well as other addresses, because it meets the standards in the master planning guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. This is the wrong, I'm just noticing, this is not the correct thing. So staff is recommending approval of the mural package at 1512 Bull Street, 906 Drayton Street, and 2201 Bull Street, with the addition that due to the time sensitive nature of the murals and their repeating theme and design concept, staff is also recommending that the board allow staff to review future submittals that are part of this project, and those will be presented to the board at future HSMC meetings for informational purposes. And I open for questions.
Thank you, Ryan. To clarify, did that email come in after, was that part of the submittal package? I don't remember seeing that. Or did that come in after you sent
Are you talking about the additional portion?
The email that you just had up.
Oh, this was received on February 1st, so it was received after the fact.
I see. Could you just leave that up? I haven't been able to finish. In the meantime, are there any questions of staff? Tom?
My question is, first of all, do you have any idea? I have several questions probably, but do you have any idea how many construction fences are up at any one time in Savannah? And do you have any idea of how many people would apply to this? And how long is this project going to go on, like to infinity?
When it comes to how many construction fences there are in the city at any given time, I do not have that on hand right now. In terms of how many people are applying for that, again, they state that they're looking for more artists for this, so they don't determine an amount in that. And their request is for the approval for up to 5 years. So whether or not they're expecting it to be longer, we don't know. That would be a good question for them to answer, the petitioner.
Because I mean, the concern always is, or well, again, this is similar to the first thing around, it's essentially giving staff, and that could be you, but it could be someone 5 years from now or 4 years from now or 1 year from now. It could be someone else, a blank check to approve an extensive amount of public art that, you know, some people may consider offensive, really. In the experience I've had here, you know, sometimes people in the public look at things differently than maybe staff does, and sometimes they look at things differently than the petitioner does, and that maybe we even look at it. So I am a little leery that we can say that you can put these up, particularly since it sounds like the broad sense of this could be everywhere around, and it could be a lot of these. And for there to be no real eyes looking at it again, there's staff eyes, of course, but again, I thought our purpose, and in the past 10 years, 9 years I've been on here, this has been kind of the issue, whether, I mean, some people lean towards staff should be able to make these decisions and should be able to effectively promote public art by approving things without this board. I've always been on the side of the board is here for a reason. The board is here to not to put a check on public art or the staff, but to be essentially working with the staff. So I'm a little leery of, again, a blank check, unfortunately.
Thanks, Tom. Any other questions, Sean?
This is Sean. I don't want to go down the list, but I agree with everything Commissioner Tom just said. Couple of questions for you. Are we, since this is on private property, do we have final say, or does this go to city council for approval?
This would be approved by you all.
Okay. So my next question is this an after the fact mural, or is this a ongoing one?
Both. So you would be approving murals that already exist as well as future.
Okay, so my next question is, sorry, I'm trying to take as much emotion out of this because I've got a lot of, and that's again why I stated I'm very happy Leah's here. Well, I'll get to it in a second. Hold on. So Commissioner Monroe has mentioned this specific project numerous times already. So I've got two questions that I'm going to try to get through as much as, why is there a City of Savannah logo on an unapproved mural?
So Ryan, I'm going to jump in there.
I know you mentioned that it was the Savannah Cultural Affairs thing,
right?
But I need it to go on record from staff as to why the Savannah logo is on a unapproved mural.
I mean, Ryan, you're
I don't want to throw anybody under the element here or bus. I'm not trying to do that. This is a,
well, and maybe this is a question
goes exactly to what Tom was saying, where what's the point of the board if this exact thing is going to happen, right?
I think that question is for whoever granted the grant.
Yeah. Well, it maybe that's a question for the petitioner as well. But as far as I understand, for the Cultural Affairs Commission, when they received Weave a Dream money, all projects are required to acknowledge the city's support with a logo of the city. That is my assumption. I think that you should ask the petitioner that question as well.
And I definitely will. Again, but since it had to do with the city, I figured let's go with staff first. So
I wish we had somebody from the city here, obviously, to answer that question. But I want to hear, I actually be interested to hear what the petitioner says, because I want to figure out where the lacking communication is between you all, your board and the city.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point.
And thank you, Leah. And another reason also, so again, I don't want to throw anybody, to kind of the last point I'm going to make on that one prior to turning it over to the rest of the commissioners, is Commissioner Monroe, now Chairman Monroe, had mentioned at multiple meetings previously specifically about this project. And Leah had said, I believe this goes all the way back to November when Christopher started asking. I could be wrong, but I know it went to last year's when he started asking about it. And every single time, Leah's answer was, no, there's nothing on the board, until last month in January, when it was finally mentioned that, oh yeah, that was finally submitted. So my question to staff, and this might go to the City of Savannah, is if it's known already that these murals are being put up and the press releases were out. In fact, at the January meeting, that was the day when, hey, it was posted on Facebook, this is going live. What is the function of this board if that exact thing is going to happen? Sorry, what's the purpose and function of the board if it's known and it's just ignored?
A good answer to that would be yourselves as a board, as well as us as staff, have no enforcement capabilities. So it would have been up to City of Savannah Code Compliance to provide them a notice to comply with, how things go.
We'll rely on, as we do, the City of Savannah Code Compliance Department for enforcement. So as soon as we found out about it, we contact them. And then, unfortunately, we're at their mercy as to when they cite the person, and then they always, they have to give them a time frame. Unfortunately, 30 or 60 days or whatever it is. But we also contacted Clinton because we knew who was responsible for the project, obviously, but also, 3 years ago, Clinton came in and met with us, or was it since you were here? So 2 years ago, was it before? Anyway, a couple of years ago, Clinton came in and met with us and said he was going to do this project. So, and we told him what the application process would be. So there was knowledge of it. So I'm not really sure where the disconnect happened there. I think there was, and again, for the petitioner, but I think there was a limited amount of time to implement it based on the grant. Criteria. Again, not your problem, any of those kinds of things. I what we can, you know, the best we can do is continue to try and get the word out there and make it, you know, do more education. And we're looking at more presentations for this Preservation Month again for more education out there. And I think that you're all, you know, your board's purview and what's the word I'm looking for? Not purview. Responsibilities, I guess, is would be a perfect education opportunity. But I really think it's a good question for Mr. Edminster if he's here. Jose Ray might be here instead about why you all weren't consulting before doing the work.
So everyone wants to speak. Sean, go ahead and finish. I'm going to go to Lisa and then I'll come back to you. Tom did tell me he had to leave. So let me let Tom have the floor. I apologize for this, but I really have
no choice to have to leave early today. So therefore I will not be unfortunately voting on this issue, which I consider significant and important personally. Since I have to leave and I will not be voting, I just wanted to give my final input in as I kind of, without reiterating exactly what I said, I personally would not be able to vote for this proposal the way it is, because of the fact that I think it's giving up too much power of the board, not the power, but too much of the purpose of the board and its oversight. And as Sean points out, I would agree that the idea that this is once again at a de facto, after the fact mural, approval, which we've dealt with so long when technically it probably should have been brought to us long before this and dealt with long for us. But anyway, unfortunately, I won't be able to vote on it, but I'll just, you know, accept the consequences of what the remaining board.
Thank you for your input, though, Tom. Thank you for your input, though. Let me ask staff before I continue. Do we still have a quorum at this point? Because I am a non-voting member at this point.
A quorum is three, okay. Regardless if you're a voting member.
Okay.
So yes.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that.
Bree, if you're hearing, Thomas has left the building.
You're gonna hear a noise in just a second.
I just want to clarify. We'll let the record show. Tom has left, and I'm remaining as chair. And we have Sean Mann and Lisa Watson. So the chair recognizes Sean, and then I'll come to you, Lisa.
Just one more clarification. Mm-hmm. So you are not, you can vote. You're allowed to vote.
Okay.
And you are actually a tiebreaker if you choose, but you don't have to be. Okay. I just want to make sure you knew that.
Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you.
Mike, this is probably just this is Sean real quick. How can a program fit under the purview, keeping in context with the master plan for the city of Savannah when the destination and locations are unknown? And I reference the Fox and Fig proposed mural that came in front of us a little while ago where staff had said, no, that doesn't, I know that we voted it down because the residents were very much against it. I believe staff said it does not fit in the master plan of the neighborhood, but don't quote me on that. I would refer that to staff, but I'm just wondering how can a moving mural fit into that master plan and guidelines, so on and so forth, to still meet staff's approval.
So the Fox and Fig mural actually was denied by the HRB as well as being not visually compatible. So that's where before it even got to you all, they said it wasn't visually compatible. So that's that. But just for an example, and based on what some things say in the master plan and guidelines, there is provision in there for you all to pass down like rotating murals to staff, and you all did that. I'm not sure if any of you were here at the time, but what was the name of it?
Walls of Hope.
The Walls of Hope mural.
There's been a few, actually.
Yeah, there's been several where you all reviewed the original content and some future ideas, or like a parameter in which a parameter in which they would be operating on the rotations. So there have been a few times when this board has done that. And especially with this one, which is they're temporary. So that's even more, I don't know a good word, ephemeral, that's not the right word. But we're not suggesting that you have to delegate that to staff. That is not a requirement. That is just something that you are allowed to do if you choose to. So that's that, but there is past examples of precedent. When you all have done that. Yeah, I hate to use the word precedent, but yes.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
In that we did actually, I think this might have predated both of you, Leah and Ryan, but we did actually approve a fence project from Mr. Administrator actually quite a while back. So this, I mean, there has been precedent for this. I don't know if that's the right, you know, we want to use that terminology or not.
Okay.
Sean, is that all the questions you had? Okay, Lisa.
This is Lisa. Our first virtual meeting, I was a little like confused. That was my first virtual meeting ever. And someone from staff mentioned they were gonna work on an instructional video or email for public art and murals, because this just keeps coming up. And as an artist, I find it difficult to find the application on the site. And but I think also the artists don't realize this board is here to facilitate community outreach. It's not about whether or not we like a piece of art. It's about whether the community is okay with it. We're not, you know, so I just wish, 'cause I'm seeing murals go up everywhere, and I'm not going to call out these artists right now. But this is just going to keep coming up, and there's got to be something we can do about that.
Well, and as I mentioned, and I know it's not going to be immediate, but that is going to be one of our highlighted educational presentations that we're going to create this year for Preservation Month, which then becomes, you know, a presentation that's able to be repeated and repeated. But we also do have our educational brochure already about how to apply and where to find the application. Do you have any other suggestions? Because we will put that presentation out.
I think artists don't realize they have to look under the historic sites and monuments.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're thinking historic
sites. They're thinking public art, not Oglethorpe statues and whatnot. Yeah.
And if any artist is listening in, the application is so easy. And two, as someone who has to file for permits, the city of Savannah is really simple to do that. And I don't think artists should be discouraged to do that. And on somewhere where you read, Ryan, about Clinton had mentioned that it won't benefit the artist to you know, for us to review. I disagree with that, because part of being an artist is being in the same line as somebody who's a general contractor or a garden designer who has to file these applications. It makes the artist look more professional, and it teaches the artist the process of submitting works to bigger projects. So I don't want to discourage artists. I hope they'll just look it up and start working on the applications instead of this after the fact.
This is Leah. I really appreciate you saying that, Lisa, because I do think that we prefer to, like you're saying, look at this, you all as facilitators, in a way for artists even work to be seen by the general public sort of in a different forum, instead of a roadblock or something that you just have to, you know, get through. Mm-hmm. So something more beneficial rather than a muzzle, I guess.
John.
If Lisa, you had nothing else, I just wanted to, sorry, this is Sean. I just wanted to say, to reiterate exactly what Lisa had said, remember a little while ago when we approved the, no offense, my personal favorite mural that was in like 50 Ardsley Park, where they put it up on the house. even that petitioner said how easy the entire process is to fill it out. And that's ironic, that mural came up in the meeting I was in earlier today. So it's a very simple, easy process to do, and the city is extremely workable and flexible with everybody. So thank you for bringing that up, Lisa.
I know the petitioner is probably waiting to speak, and I don't want to prolong this anymore, but I do want to say thank you guys very much for your input on that, Lisa, particularly. And I'm actually very interested in, when we get a full commission, in actually having this discussion and talking about some of the details of this, because I think we aren't the enemy of public art. We want to be facilitators, as was said. So thank you all for that. And I apologize that, you know, I'm going to try to keep this moving along as much as possible. So now we're going to move to hear from the petitioner. If they're here, if you could state your name and your affiliation.
Hi, my name is Clint Edminster, and I'm the petitioner.
Hi, Clint.
Hi.
Do you have anything to say, or are you waiting for questions?
Maybe both. I tried keeping track of some of the stuff that I was, some of the questions and concerns you all brought up before, but I wasn't writing them down. Maybe a little of both. I would say, well, yeah, let me just jump in and say I'm really excited about this project. We were able to put something together relatively quickly after the cultural affairs department came by Starlandia and said, hey, we're really looking for projects. We'd really like to, you know, spend this money that's set aside for the Weave a Dream grant. And so that was sometime in early October. Then really about mid-October, this idea of sort of using construction fencing as the medium for where to put these presented itself as a really interesting idea for a number of ways. One, we didn't have to go through the process of securing locations with individuals. We could just do it kind of, just talk to one construction site manager, and make that work. And really, that's kind of been a whole sort of backbone of this entire project, is instead of getting 100 donations for $10, trying to get 10 donations for $100, to try to really expedite the process and allow us to do the project under the confines of the Weave a Dream grant, which we did receive. And that is why the City of Savannah's logo is on our signage. It's because that is required by the terms of our grant to be there. So I hope that clears that up. And in my, I'm not sure if it was in this application or in the application that I'll be filing as a final report to the cultural affairs, I do make that point that I think there should be a much clearer communication between the HSMC and the Weave a Dream or cultural affairs program for more publicly funded murals as they move forward. I could see it being maybe sort of like a joint meeting to sort of take care of all of this at once. I think that would be really helpful. Because to be completely honest, one of the reasons you guys didn't see this is because I didn't think that I needed to bring this to you. This would be my third application that I've successfully presented, hopefully, to HSMC. And though I think, Leah, you are right, I did reach out to you a while ago, I think back in 2016. I've done fence mural projects before on the location of what is now the Aaliyah Hotel and at Perry Lane. And I couldn't remember going in front of HSMC. And after I looked at the minutes for those years as well, which was in spring and fall of 2016, we did not receive HSMC approval for either of those. Those were awesome projects that got to feature, again, more local artwork. This was all done through ArtRise Savannah at the time. One of them was a call for entries featuring artwork by Jessica Pope, who's the local illustrator. And then the other one was a collaboration between the Art Center Photography from Atlanta. And we worked with the construction firm who was building Perry Lane at the time and the Perry Lane firm to use their fence to put up, I think, like 100 feet of photographs from different Georgian artists, which you could see really on the outside of those picnic tables by Parker's. So with that assumption, and I do apologize, I believe that was a total assumption of me seeing that, okay, kind of looking back into my past of doing art projects, I didn't really have the time to be able to apply for an HSMC permit get that application. That would have literally given us like a very, very slim amount of time to be able to produce and install these murals before the funding requirement deadline of cultural affairs. That was the only reason that this did not come in front of you. That was an assumption that I made, and I absolutely apologize. And this was not in any way to try to like subvert the power of this board at all. I assumed based on previous projects that I've done before that I did not need to apply for a permit for these because they are on a temporary construction fence. The HSMC guidelines that you find online, and I think city code say that any permanent or semi-permanent mural needs to go through permitting. I kind of saw these as temporary and not semi-permanent. I think that would make more sense for, you know, something that's actually going onto a wall, something that's being painted onto a wall or installed onto a wall. These are literally zip tied onto construction fences that are temporary in and of themselves, that either have an encroachment permit or up to just help keep sand away. I would also add that as Mr. Jarl said earlier, these construction fences, or construction fences, especially in Savannah, do contain imagery and signage that advertises the focus of what that project is going to be. I don't believe that I've been able to find any precedent for those designs to go through any sort of signage permitting themselves. And so I do think that what we have found here, y'all, is some sort of strange liminal space of what is a construction fence and what are the designs that go on a construction fence. Currently in front of the Matadora, right next to Henny Penny, there are several very large signs that would, if they were placed anywhere else, require and demand signage approval by MPC. I do not believe that these have gone through that process, and yet the murals that are literally on the same fence are required to go through that process. And I think that's an interesting thing to consider. I think really you guys may have more options here than you think. And one of them is to consider how the precedent that we might set today will affect the types of imagery that go on construction fences around town. And again, I think this is actually a really interesting opportunity for us to maybe try to figure out how do we want to think about this surface, this unique and temporary surface that goes up around construction fences, and use that as a place for, yes, for businesses to be able to talk about what they want to build, and also maybe as a place for artists to be able to iterate and design, you know, create new things. I'm trying to think if I've got anything else to say. I don't want to blab on for too long. So that's kind of just some thoughts that I've been thinking, listening to y'all. Again, I just want to say that this was in no means me being aware of this process and saying, I don't want to do that. I have successfully done this with you guys two times, and I tell everybody about this. You wouldn't believe how many people come to the store, and I direct them to the MPC website, and I walk them through the application. With the timeline, and again, with the precedent that I had from the two previous construction fence murals that I have had that didn't have approval, I believed that I could move forward with it. And so I'm happy to take any questions I've got.
Thank you, Clinton. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your patience with this process as well. And thank you for some of those clarifications. But I will also, to clarify, those previous projects, actually, the Perry Lane specifically definitely did come through this board. I specifically do remember that. I don't know if, Ryan, you have records of that or not, but those fence projects definitely did come.
We would have to look back, but I can probably find them if they did. Okay.
Just to clarify, so those definitely did come through this board to be approved, and they were approved. So I just wanted to clarify for the record on that one. Does anyone, did Sean or Lisa, do you have comments? Lisa?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Clinton. You said you had a time restraint. When when We Have a Dream grant is released to you, how long do you have?
So we applied for the grant on October 31st. On November 10th, we were called in to the Cultural Affairs to sign documents that start it. So that sort of starts that point. We got a check about 5 days later for our 80% of our grant. So if you think about it, so I didn't have any designs, and I really didn't have any artists at that time. I had an idea, and I had tentative location at the Forum Group and at Matadora. We hadn't even yet secured the CETA location. So the next application, I think, would have been for December for a January meeting, in which point we had to have the murals up and done and all of our money spent basically by December 31st. So this application is at most a month late, but even if I had gotten it to you guys as soon as I possibly could, that would have been, I guess, the January meeting. And I just simply didn't have the time or the capacity, nor really the, I think Ryan had reached out to me about that, but I just decided to apply for to hit this meeting, I guess.
Okay, so that's a problem in itself. But to only give a project like this a month and a half, approximately?
Yeah, I mean, I can attest to that. I mean, Clinton's right. I mean, being on the Cultural Affairs Commission, they do have time restrictions on that, and that's a fair point. And Clinton, you make a good point about there being more communication between those commissions, and because I am personally on this commission and that, I will definitely bring that up at the next meeting. I think that's a very valid point.
If I may, I think, like, you guys know where I stand on all this. I want murals up the wazoo, and I think in order to do that, but I also agree that they shouldn't, we should have somewhere between, draconian authorization and, free market mural capitalism, we should have some sort of in-between, and you guys play an incredibly important role. But there is overlap with the Cultural Affairs and some of the money that they provide, and that would be, I think, really cool. I mean, like, one problem that cities and large organizations have is this sort of division of management, and this is a place where I think really two city departments could come together relatively easily to facilitate, the investment that the city is making and for the artists.
So a project this big for future, if anybody's listening to, maybe they apply in January, so they have an entire year to go through the process.
That is absolutely what we plan on doing this year. I just thought that it was important that we spend the money that the city has to make art while we could. And I know there was, because of COVID-19, there was a dearth of applications for the We Have a Dream grant. And so this was an exercise in showing that we can scrap together something quickly and make it happen. And if I say, I think it was very successful, except for this aspect, where we were just not able to do this in time due to, again, I blame that entirely on myself and partly on the structure and timeline.
Okay. Any other questions? Lisa, is that all your questions? Sean?
This is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
When did you start thinking about this project? I know you mentioned you applied for the grant in October. But when did you start thinking about it?
I don't really know. Maybe early October. I was looking for early October, maybe late September.
Okay. So from what I'm hearing is you didn't fully understand the process this time, but yet previous times you did understand the process by filling that application out for essentially the exact same thing as Chairman Monroe mentioned for the Perry Lane, I'm thinking the Beatles right now, fence project, correct?
I think so, but I couldn't, sure.
Wow. All right. Ryan, could you scroll up a little bit in the up. There, yeah, lower numbers. There you go. Slowly. There's a certain aspect that it kind of irritated me when I read it in the application. No, hang on, it wasn't. Never mind. I meant down. Go all the way down to the end. Oh wait, no, it is. It is in here. And you mentioned the. So actually, here, section D, right here, where you've got the materials that you made that you used. What was your decision process on that one?
I conferred with a couple of the artists. Primarily, Brian McGregor was really helpful. He had done a couple outside projects at Collins Porter and had coach's corner, something like that. And he helped me come up with that.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that is because I'm your overall message that I'm hearing is you just didn't have time to do it, correct?
We didn't have time to fit the schedule for the deadlines and the hearings that you guys have that would really fit in with what we were able to do with our grant. They just don't really align.
My frustration with it, I love it. I think it's a great idea. I love it, but I really do not like the idea of a unchecked mural just going anywhere throughout the city. Commissioner Geisheimer mentioned that verbatim, and I don't want somebody putting up a mural in my neighborhood that just looks like total garbage. So I don't like that aspect either. I find it very troubling to see that you're mentioning how you don't have time, but yet at the same time, the staff recommendation is in essence to save time. Well, I also don't have time. I've got a lot of busy, and I'm sure every single person here in this building and on this planet have always in borrowed time. But we can't just be throwing anything up to where we don't like something, right? Or because, oh, well, to quote the great Homer Simpson, sorry, don't put thumbs back on Marge. And I say that because I understand that you're saying that you don't have time, but clearly you had time to fill out the application for the Savannah Cultural Arts Grant, but yet the actual, whether or not it's approved or not, didn't really matter, is what I'm kind of inadvertently getting to. Is that accurate?
We didn't have designs when I applied for the grant, so I could have given you guys an incomplete application, but I don't see how that would have helped the process.
Had you ever reached out to the MPC regarding that specific question?
No, but the application fairly clearly asks for designs. I mean, really, we had no idea what the artists were going to make at all.
So to make sure that I'm, and this is just going to be the last question point that I make on this, you never reached out to the MPC for help about filling out the application, correct?
No.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa, do you have any other questions? Clinton, I appreciate your patience with this, and Sean and Lisa's points are well taken. I do think this is a really good project. I personally love it. I think it's awesome, but I do think there needs to be some consistency. And I actually would like to sort of bring this up at a future board meeting when we have the rest of the commissioners and sort of maybe drill down into some of this. But in the meantime, if there are no further questions for the petitioner, we will open it up to members of the public. So if anybody from the public has any comments, please use the raise your hand option and we will wait for your comments. So there being no comments, we will move on. Board discussion. Open it up for board discussion. Lisa?
I guess, again, we need to get the point across to all artists that we're facilitating this. So in case there is an image that some offends somebody, they have time to speak. I mean, that to me is the most important thing about this board. It's all about community outreach. So,
I mean, honestly, that's a fair point. And that's one of the points that I make to the public when I talk about this board, is it's not even that we're necessarily evaluating whether we like or dislike the art itself, but whether it's being done properly. And it's really more or less a forum for the public to weigh in on what's going on in their, you know, what's going up in their neighborhood. That's where I see our value, is that we are, you know, ostensibly we are professionals who know what we're talking about. I mean, we do, Lisa, you're an artist who has done public art projects. We have you. When Eileen comes onto this board, she has a history of being in the arts. So, you know, I hopefully this isn't setting us up as adversaries of public art, because that's exactly the opposite of what we want to be doing here. So is there a member of the public or okay. So I just think that it's important for the public or anyone listening, and Clinton as well, you know, that this is a forum for people in the community to weigh in on it. I mean, that email is, you know, an example. I mean, whether we consider that or not, or, you know, whether that affects our decision or not, they're at least allowed the opportunity to voice their opinions. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. As I said at the very onset of after Ryan had finished the staff presentation, I need to look at this from a very unemotional perspective, because honestly, this is something that I really like the artwork. I think it's great. I hate looking at the construction fences. I can't stand looking at it. But exactly to what Chairman Monroe just stated, it's not a matter of whether or not we like the art or not, right? There are certain standards that the city of Savannah has set forth as to this is how the artwork throughout the city is going to look. We've had a proposed mural come in front of the commission that was put up by, ironically, End Market, and it actually had the word End Market in the mural. That was not allowed. That was said, nope, you can't have it. And I referenced previously the Fox and Fig. Is that the right name? Yeah, thank you. That mural, I personally thought that was one of the best ideas for a mural ever. However, the people that live in that general area hated it. They didn't want it up there.
Yeah.
So I can't look at it from that, oh, well, I really like this artwork, because in full disclosure, one of your artists sits on my neighborhood association board. And honestly, her and I were literally texting about this on December 15th. So
maybe that's not something you should say. We probably shouldn't be doing that.
So I wasn't saying anything of like, it was just, I know it very well. So I think it's a great program, but it's frustrating to see that the callousness where, oh, I just didn't have time and didn't really want to deal with it, is kind of like the overall mantra that I've gotten from this. It's a very simple process, and I don't want to belabor it, but I think everybody's kind of stated it, and
honestly, to pick up on both, I think you used two really good examples. The End Market mural was a great example of how we told them they were actually not allowed to advertise, because advertising signage does not come under our purview. So if something is advertorial, if it's an advertisement, that's separate. And if it's a mural, it cannot have an advertisement in it. And we made them take that part out. And that's one of our functions. And the other function is that Fox and Fig example, where I love that mural personally. It really broke my heart to have to deny that. But because there was such an outpouring of the public, I couldn't in good conscience vote to approve it. And those are it's an unfortunate example, but I mean, that's the reality of why we exist.
And to go along that same point about the absolute ease of this process is my favorite city approved mural, which is over in Ardsley Park, which is where that family who had just moved in, they put it up on their house. And it's literally just a family, and it has like the Tybee, you know, it's the one on the garage that blew. I think that's an amazing freaking mural. I think it's one of the, it's so simple. It's straightforward. It's, hey, we just wanted to do something fun. In no time at all, they had it approved. And the city even allowed them, hey, go ahead and finish it up, but hey, make sure you also go through and apply for your approval process. They did it. They said, this is the easiest thing on earth. We don't have any problem with it. So I don't really acknowledge the statement about, hey, you didn't have enough time, but it's the message that I'm getting is it's not that you didn't have time. You just didn't want to necessarily go through the process until you're already done. And that's really just all I want to say. I'm very, very torn on this one.
Lisa, did you have another comment?
No, I was just going to bring up the waving girl because I went into that meeting. Right. What I thought, oh, yeah, we should move the waving girl until I heard from the communities. And I had a total turnaround on that decision.
That's a great point, too. I mean, there's been, and I mean, I've been on this commission for almost 8 years now, and there have been a number of situations where board members have changed their opinion, either pro or con, due to the feedback from the public. At the same time, Clinton, we don't want to, I don't want to beat you up too much on this. I really like this project. So where do you all stand on this? We do have the recommendation. Ryan, do you want to read that and just so we clarify what we're trying to decide here?
Yep. So again, the wrong address is obviously listed there. So I'm going to read it aloud here. Staff recommends approval of the temporary mural package at, again, and I'll list those addresses. That's being at 1512 Bull Street, 906 Drayton Street, and 2201 Bull Street, as well as future addresses, because staff is additionally asking that due to the time-sensitive nature of the murals and their repeating theme and design concept, staff recommends that the board allow staff to review future submittals that are part of this project. And staff would present those murals to you all at the meetings following for informational purposes.
So let me offer this as a chair, and I've been on this commission for a while. And so now, because there we only have two voting members right now, and Tom made his opinions known before he left, I want to maybe suggest, and this will be up to whoever makes the motion, but perhaps because this application has already been made at this point, future, I'm going to assume, and I don't know, maybe you all can tell me, I'm going to assume you all aren't going to be too much in favor of just approving willy-nilly going forward. If that is the case, I would suggest that the next, let me just ask, what do you all think on that? Lisa?
I had a motion, but I'm not saying it. This is just my idea. To approve the existing murals located at wherever that fence is, but we'll need to review sketch designs prior to future mural installations.
Okay. Sean?
One question actually that I need to ask the petitioner Clinton is, and the staff, you might also be able to shed some light on this. So on the screen right now is the black fence canvas, however you want to word it, at 38th and Bull Street and Bolton and Drayton Street, right? And then there are the actual existing artwork at 31st and Bull Street. Just so I know, do we know what would be put at 38th and Bull Street and Bolton and Drayton Street, or is it those exact same four pieces of artwork, or any of those?
These are all of the ones that are up. So I believe that the murals are placed at those locations.
Some of them are. Maybe Clinton, can you answer that? Some of them are actually up at those other locations.
He's asking for approval for those three locations to include these murals, these 11 murals.
So here. Clinton, are you still there?
Yes.
What's those other two locations that, Ryan, could you go back up just so we know which locations we're asking, talking about?
Yes, there are 11 murals currently installed. Unfortunately, today we learned that one mural was stolen and we were trying to track that down.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
All right. Thank you.
They're quite lovely. I really like them a lot, and I've gone down and gone through all three locations. But this is the other thing I was going to offer as well, because Dr. Henry's gone and Tom is gone. It would, I'll entertain whatever motions you all want to make, but I was going to make the suggestion that perhaps this is approved as it currently stands, and then we continue this at a later date, or we do not approve of staff's. Is that what you were saying, Lisa?
I think as the next group of artists come in, they just do a quick sketch so we can see they're not.
And that's, you know, Clinton, not to be too onerous, but because all this work has already been done, the next approval process should not be that complicated. But it would also allow the community to have some input, and it would also allow the other oncoming board members. And again, they actually have some experience in this area, which I think might be valuable. Again, I will entertain whatever motion you all want to make, but I was just making that suggestion.
So I'm gonna, okay, this is my actual first motion, because I always let Sean do it. So can you roll? Yeah.
I'm gonna pull this up so you see all of those addresses listed.
Okay, yes, thank you.
So it's 1512 Bull Street, 906 Drayton Street, and 2201 Bull Street, if you're looking at making a motion for those three addresses.
Thank you.
All right, and then I motion to approve staff's recommendation on the existing murals located at 1512 Bull Street, 906 Drayton Street, 2201 Bull Street, but the board will need to review sketch designs prior to future murals being installed.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Sean? So there's a motion on the table.
Add location. Because that's another big thing too, is we have no idea where these are going. And I understand the petitioner's statement of, well, we don't know where the construction sites are going to go. I deal with that on a daily basis.
Let me make a suggestion if I could. We could approve the current murals as they're up, with the understanding that any future murals will have to be applied for. That makes sense. Do you want to restate the motion? Sorry.
This makes. Oh, please.
Okay, so the motion on the table is to approve the current murals at 1512 Bull Street, 906 Drayton Street, and 2201 Bull Street, with the understanding that any future murals in this project will come through this board prior to installation.
I'll suck at that.
Oh, you made the motion.
Never mind.
So do I have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor? Lisa?
This is Lisa. Aye.
You did second the motion, Sean. Fair enough. Yay or nay? All opposed? You have to vote for one or the other.
This is Sean. I vote yes to Lisa's motion.
Motion is approved. Thank you, Clinton. I appreciate your patience, and I will endeavor to, on this board and the cultural affairs, to actually have this conversation and see how we can make more clear the communication and make this process more clear going forward. And I appreciate you bringing that up because I think it's a very necessary thing. So thank you.
And a staff.
Thank you, Chris and Lisa. And then if I may, I would say it's something that I've gotten, I think, a little bit better at over the years is figuring out how to, don't take this the wrong way, but break structures so we can all work on putting them back together in a stronger way. And I think the mural process we have now has so much good in it, but it doesn't mean that it's perfect. And I think you guys are perfectly set up and kind of make the best mix of anybody I could imagine to really guide the rest of this community through creating the next phase, you know, Mural 2.0 package. And what does that look like? Because I think if people aren't, you know, applying for these the way that you want them, then there's either two things that are wrong. Either the application has some errors with it that you might not know of, or people don't know about it. And I think we should take the time to explore both of those. And you guys have the power and I think the responsibility to take that on. And I'm more than here to totally be here for you if you need any help. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I do agree with that, and I think that we can try to do our best to actually make this process more accessible.
And a staff, if you need any assistance explaining the process at the Cultural Affairs Commission or anything like that, more than happy to come and
help. Okay, that would be really great, actually.
Just the, you know, the nuances of the legalities that are in the bylaws and whatnot. Yep.
And not to go too off topic here, but Leah, you know, as you know, like we had this is on the record. So, I mean, it is a matter of record on the cultural affairs, but we're talking about a public art ordinance, and you were gave some input on that. And that was a good example of one commission not actually knowing what the other commission was actually doing. And so I do think that there's a lot of community. I'm happy to be able to bridge that gap as well. So. Thank you for that offer, and I might take you up on that, actually. Okay, thank you all. Okay, so we're on to the next item on the agenda, which is number 7, newly appointed commission members. And you already did that.
You did that at the beginning of the meeting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and thank you for that. Thank you. Man, we'll have a full... And I've got the gavel. Woo! Okay, we're going to go on to item 8 on the agenda, the next regular... I'm sorry. Yeah. Did we miss other business? Am I skipping something? No.
That was your other business, the item number 7.
Next. Okay. So now we're on 8, right? Okay. Newly next regular 8 meeting on March 4th, 2021. So we do have an application for that. And I believe if that's, and we will have our new board members by then, hopefully, maybe.
That makes they appointed like 80 some board members last month, and they have.
I did get reapproved for the cultural affairs, so I knew they were doing stuff.
That's how I knew. So
the Park and Tree Commission has an entirely new commission.
I saw that too. I was like, oh boy, Sean, good luck with that.
Sure. It affected us because many of the former members didn't even know that their terms were expiring. So.
Yeah, that's definitely something the members need to keep track of themselves or ask their staff to help them keep track of it. Because I'm trying to keep track of it for you all. But yes, so there was like 80 new people appointed. So that's 80 letters that the clerk has to send out. So we're waiting for our letters. And if anybody has contact information for any of those people, we can contact them earlier.
Well, I do know Eileen, and I mean, I can put you in touch with her, okay, at least. Okay.
A quick question. Nick said he was on the board for 5 years, but then Tom said he was on the board for 9.
He's been on the board for 9. It's 2 5-year terms. It's 5-year terms, maximum of 2.
Oh, so he was really 10 years. Nick was.
No, he only did one term.
He never reapplied.
He didn't reapply for a second term.
Oh.
So let me ask that actually, and I don't want to labor this question anymore, but this is actually something that came up and it really infuriated me, as I had alluded to earlier, where many of the members of the Park and Tree Commission didn't even know about it. Is it the staff's job to, who's responsible? Is it the, does it end of, at the end of the day, does it fall on the onus of the member or what?
Yeah, you all receive a letter. Those are the letters I'm waiting for, is copies of these letters. Staff gets copies of the letters that go to the people who are appointed, and the letter outlines their terms and when their term's up and how you get a second term or, you know, all that. So that letter that you get when you're appointed outlines your entire service. I mean, like I said, I keep track of when you all are appointed and, you know, when you started serving as chair and all that, and I try and remind you, but yeah, it's really, the onus is really on you all as the one who's been appointed.
Thank you for that help as well. Any other business?
Congratulations being chairman.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll do my best. And I will endeavor to really, you know, move things along as much as I can, but I also want to make sure everybody's heard as well. So I'll try to strike that balance as much as possible. And thank you all too, Ryan and Leah. Much appreciated, Sean.
One other thing, and sorry, I didn't want to belabor the meeting any longer, but one thing I do want to mention is Christopher and staff, you had both mentioned that yes, there's a potential communication gap between the city and the residents as to what actually falls under for a mural, specifically a mural, but anything, whether it be even getting a park named, so on and so forth. But one thing I do want to say is it's not only the city's responsibility. Just like as we had just mentioned about commissioner members' terms, it's also the residents' job and responsibility to take an initiative and, hey, if something's not completed, ask. I know when it came to, just from my personal experience, when it came to me reapplying for my third and final term at the Park and Tree Commission, clerk of council probably wants to set a rule to never get an email from me ever again, because how often I was emailing him asking for updates. And I know when I was going through the naming process for the greatest park in the city of Savannah, Edgemere Sackville Dibbitt Association Park, not playing any favorites. Again, staff was probably saying, Sean, you were asking so many questions, but it's not just city's responsibility. We're all in this together. And even in the age of COVID, it just makes it more simple. Just simply ask a question. Staff is really good at replying back to an email, whether it be MPC, Greenscapes, culture, whatever city department, they're all very, very good at getting back to you, but they're not going to get back to you if you don't reach out to them.
Agreed. Without any further questions, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.